And to look at how universities have a vital role to play in modern industrial society in providing skills that societies need. I mean, universities kind of schizophrenic in a way. On the one hand, they're dealing with universal concepts, the concepts that can be applied across all geographical and national boundaries. We think of the underlying concepts of physics or mathematics or even some aspects of cultural studies. And on the other hand, they are set up to deliver a skilled workforce for a particular nation state. All right, so each nation is trying to have a better higher education than the next one to give it a competitive economic advantage. And there is a kind of contradiction between these two aims. One is the pursuit of truth, which is one of the things that universities like to think they're about, regardless of nationality. And the other one is about the pursuit of a narrow national self-interest. Okay? So that's a kind of contradiction that there is at the heart of our university systems, not only here in the UK, I hasten to add, but everywhere. Thirdly, then, we're going to look at some of the pressures for change. What are the things that are driving these changes that I've already started to talk about this morning? Firstly, in terms of the lecturers and the producers of knowledge, if you like, the libraries and the laboratories, first pressure is coming from you. And probably this is the most important pressure. You are the new learners, right? You are the new learning generation. And you're making it clear by your daily habits that you don't particularly like or succeed in the traditional, conventional model of education. You want more flexibility in the way that you learn, in when you learn. And you probably know, and actually I feel rather sorry for you at this point, that whatever degree you get now probably isn't going to last you through your whole career. That you're probably going to have to go back to a university or some kind of further education in order to improve and enhance and develop your skills throughout your working career, because now, with the pace of change increasing so rapidly as it does, you're going to have to acquire new skills throughout your working life, and that will require you to go back into education. So you're no longer looking at a situation where, hey, you know, you get to 21, you've got your degree, and that sets you up for life, which it used to be the case, certainly in this country and throughout the Western world. Now you're going to have to be prepared to carry on learning, carry on developing your skills if you're going to remain relevant to the demands of the contemporary and rapidly changing workforce. So that's one pressure for change is from you, the consumer. Secondly, there's what I call the explosion of digitized knowledge. You've all been using the internet for what? 4 or 5 years, shall we say? You all use the internet, do you? Yeah. And is that your main first port of call when you're looking for something new? Go and put it into Google. Find out what I can from Google first or some other internet search engine. And maybe, you know, later on down the line, you go to the library and look in a book if you really have to. But most of the things that you look for today, you can find from the internet. And that's, you know, the digitization of knowledge. So we're looking at all the things that have been written in books now being digitized, put into digital form, so that you can access them online. And there are all these kind of online digital repositories being developed. Have you any idea what I'm talking about? For example, if you think of a resource like the Encyclopedia Britannica, which at one point it was claimed used to contain the whole of human knowledge. Well, I mean, that is now digitized. So if you pay a fee to Encyclopedia Britannica, you can find out anything you want at the click of a button on your computer. Right? That's what I'm getting at about digitized knowledge. Thirdly, and this is the thing I asked you to think about at the beginning, there are the costs of your education. Costs of education, they don't go down, do they? Have you ever known them go down? They just go up and up and up, and it becomes more and more expensive, especially if you add on to that the cost of traveling to another country to learn, the cost of maintaining yourself. And indeed, what we're finding here in the UK is that most UK students, now this may not apply to you, but most UK students do some part-time work to support themselves through their education, their higher education. That never used to be the case. The grant that students used to get when I went to university was, as long as you didn't get too drunk too often, was enough to support you through a university degree without falling seriously into debt. But nowadays, cost of higher education is such that many young people are either in debt or they're working. An average of something like 16 to 20 hours a week in many courses I know about at City University, where I work in London. So it's very expensive. Fourthly, the benefits of educational technology. I've already said that in some ways that this model of me standing at the front and you learning, taking notes of what I say, is a redundant model of education.